Thank you for tuning in to Richardson Cove Baptist Church Podcast. We join our weekly broadcast of our Sunday morning worship service.
I thought, what better book could we get into than the book of James to really dissect the Christian life and really hit us, you know, right between the eyes. So if you'll stand with me, even though we're not going to really be in the book of James a whole lot today, we've got to do a little intro. So we're going to be in John chapter 7 in the first five verses. John 7, verse 1, after these things Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart thence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe on him. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray for your guidance, your direction. God, give us your wisdom and understanding. Forgive me of my sins, God, and all of my unrighteousness. I pray, God, for your spirit to just saturate us today, that you just give us what we need from your holy word as we embark on this journey into the book of James, and try our best, God, to see his heart, better yet, to see your heart within him and what you designed and what you had planned for us, what we need to know about the book of James, what we need to understand, God, about truly living by faith and not by just our words. I pray, God, that you'll pierce us today and in the coming weeks as we examine these scriptures, God, that you'll challenge us and convict us, and God, help us to become the people that we know you want us to be and that we know we're capable of becoming. Forgive us. Thank you for loving us. And happy Father's Day. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I got one, yeah. Boy, I needed it too. I've been parched up here. This singing, I ain't used to this singing stuff. If we're gonna jump in and just dive into the book of James, we need to understand a little bit about who James is. So I've got a little bit of history. I got a lot of, I typically don't have papers and stuff with me. I got a lot of verses I wanted to run through that without me having to flip a lot of pages. So who is James? Who's the author of the book of James? Most people believe this is a brother of Jesus, and that's for good reason. A lot of things sort of point in that direction. There were other men named James, a couple of disciples, one was killed in like 44 AD, a little bit early for this book to have been written, and especially with some of the things that contained in it. So they sort of exclude a lot of the guys that were named James at this time. Most people agree that it was the brother of Jesus who was born after Jesus, of course. So Matthew 13, 55 through 56 said, is he not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren, James, Joseph, and Simon, and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then has this man all these things? So we're identifying that, yes, Jesus had siblings. Jesus was the firstborn. Obviously, he was not the son of Joseph, but he's the son of God. And what happened inside of Mary happened by the Spirit of God. So she had never been with a man, but yes, she became pregnant and gave birth to Jesus. Following that, there were other children that were born to Mary and Joseph. Yeah, they had other kids. One of them's name was James. And we find out too from the scripture that the family, his brethren and sisters, were not believers. Mark 3 and 31 through 35 says, there came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude said about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother and my brethren? And he looked round about them and he sat with, and he said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. And the verses we just read, John chapter 7 and verse number 5 says, for neither did his brethren believe on him. So his own siblings didn't believe on Jesus. We'll get into that in just a minute. Then we find out later that he got saved. Sometime or other, he met Jesus and realized who he was, accepted who he was, and became a believer. In 1 Corinthians 15, 6 through 8, after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some have fallen asleep. And after that, after Jesus was seen by the 500, he was seen of James. We identify this same brother of Jesus, James, to be the very one. Then of the apostles. And last he was seen of me, this is Paul talking, as of one born out of due time. So somewhere he believed and became a believer in his brother Jesus to be the Son of God. He became a church leader and great in the growth and development and the birth of the church. Acts 1:14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So this type of brethren is not including the believers that were gathered, but his blood brethren that were there by Mary. Galatians 2:9, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So not only is James somebody that became a believer in Christ to be the Son of God, but he also became a pillar in this early church. It's amazing how quick he was thrust into a position of eldership and leadership. Acts 15:13 says, and after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken ye unto me. This is a time when there was a Jerusalem council gathered together. There's a dispute. There were questions about whether the Gentiles needed to be circumcised or not. If these people are going to start believing in Jesus, then the Jews that were believers in Christ are saying, we're not only believers in Christ, but we're following all these Jewish traditions and customs and statutes and commands, so we expect all those Gentiles to jump in and do the same thing we're doing. And so it came to a head. They had to make a decision. They had to prayerfully consider what they were going to do. And so one of the leaders that stood up after Peter and made his point and shared and confirmed what Peter had been saying was the very brother of Jesus, James himself. Was he married? It's possible. It says 1 Corinthians 9:5, have we not power to lead about a sister and a wife, as well as other apostles, which are those believers that had seen Christ, and as his brethren of the Lord and Cephas. So here's some tidbits right there. You might want to jot down some things to bring a little bit of history into who this James was, who the brother of Jesus was. Tradition holds that around 62 AD that he was killed, that he was beaten, some say traditionally, with clubs. They took him out, and instead of stoning, like you saw a lot of folks died in crucifixion, he was beaten with clubs. We don't have a lot of proof to that, but it alludes to that. When was this book written? When was the book of James written? Probably before this Jerusalem council. And obviously he died in about 62. So early on this was written, pretty much after Jesus had ascended, and James, sometime whenever he became a believer, he penned these words under the leadership and presence of the Holy Spirit. What is so unique about the book of James? I'm going to tell you, a lot of things are unique about the book of James. One being that he gets in your business is what is important about the book of James. If you want something that's going to be encouraging and uplifting and going to be, tickle the fancy a little bit, don't get in the book of James. Because he gets all in your face, he gets all in your business. He challenges us and tells us that if we are believers in Jesus Christ, there will be, not there might be, but there will be works that follow that faith in Jesus Christ. Now, when we're talking about this James, we're talking about the brother of Christ, I thought the first thing that dawned on me is that he almost missed becoming a Christian. Now, think about this guy. Jesus was born. Other siblings that are labeled and mentioned in the Bible were born, James being one of them. And so James, if Jesus started his ministry at about 30 years old, then we estimate James, I'm sure they had several children right after Jesus was born. So we're looking 25 years or so at least that this James, who was born into this family of Mary and Joseph and had an older brother, Jesus, that he was around him for at least about 25 years, even when Jesus started his public ministry. And my question is this, how do you live in a house with Jesus and you don't get it that Jesus is God. Now think about it. Talking about Father's Day and talking about all the things we did when we were kids, how we got into mischief and how our kids get into mischief and how we, were disciplined, how they're disciplined. You're living in a house and you're living with somebody that is perfect, that has never done anything wrong and is never going to do anything wrong, okay? So when we're all here and there's paint on the floor, and Mary says, who did it? Well, you better know Jesus didn't do it. Got to be one of you three. I mean, imagine. And if you have siblings and they're, you consider mom and dad's favorite. Huh? We everybody feels that way at one time, don't you? So anytime anything happens, any blame's going to be thrown. Guess who's going to be thrown? It's going to be thrown to me. I get it all, you know. That's how we feel at times. Well, listen, they were really living it because it didn't matter what happened. Jesus never did it because Jesus was perfect. So I wonder, how in the world do you live in a house with Jesus and don't believe he's perfect? Don't believe he's the Son of God? Don't believe that he is the Messiah, the Christ that has come to take away the sins of the world? How do you not believe that? I think that all the siblings, especially as they got a little bit of age on them, had to agree that yes, he is exactly who everybody's saying he is, but we don't like it, we resent it, and we're mad at him because we always get the blame and he is perfect. Not only that, but he's the firstborn, so he's the eldest. Now we got to look up to the guy. I think we give the family of Jesus a bad rap sometimes because they didn't believe and follow him and trust him until after he died and went into the tomb and came out and then perhaps even ascended before a lot of those believed on him. Some traditionally say that Jesus, and it said in the scripture we read, appeared to James. I believe it being that James, that he made maybe a special appearance to appear to James there sometime or other so that James could know, hey, James, I just want you to know, buddy, I'm exactly who you thought I was, and it's time for you to jump on board and believe and accept who I am. I think there can be a lot of resentment. I think there is resentment among some siblings, don't you? I think that there can be those kind of things where we will allow our minds and our thoughts to go to a place that they really shouldn't go to because we're angry or we're upset or we feel as though we're not being fairly treated. How are you fairly treated when Jesus lives in the house with you? How is it not everybody that comes to the house? Guess who they're going to come to see? Well, they're not coming to see James. Hey, there's a multitude outside the house. Who are they coming to see? It ain't James. It's Jesus. That's who everybody's coming to see. So I think about this whole process of growing up. I think about the experiences they must have had as little kids. Jesus never stole a toy from anybody when he was little. He was always given the toys. Jesus never misbehaved. Then you've got James and these others who are doing their own thing, and they're stealing and they're swiping, you know, and they're being kids. They're kicking dirt in people's face, and they're doing, you know, they're going up behind the girls, and they're pulling the ponytails. Yank! Jesus didn't do that. So I think about the challenges that were in the life of James and all of those other siblings. I think about the difficulties that they had and the things that they had to put up with. So I understand them to some point. I understand we don't like to be left out, do we? We don't like to be second. We like to be first. We like to be acknowledged for things. And if they did a drawing, you know, in school, kind of stretching here, whose drawing do you think was probably the best? Well, Jesus probably did the best drawing. He probably colored in the lines. So Jesus is pretty awesome and pretty amazing, I'm sure, even as he was a kid growing up, because Jesus didn't just honor the Word of God when he was adult from 30 to 33 and a half when he died. It wasn't 3.5 years that Jesus gave us. What did Jesus give us? His whole life Jesus gave us. So from a baby, did he even cry for a bottle? I mean, think about these things. You've got other siblings that are here. Maybe they're stair steps. You know, I think about Scotty. When your girls, when we first started coming, they were bump, 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 bump. You know, little Chris and Amanda Ogle, their little kids are stair steps. Maybe it was like that in the house of Mary and Joseph. Maybe they had all those little kids running around. And you got four, if you got five of them, then four of them screaming. Guess who's not screaming? Jesus is not screaming. Because Jesus is God, and he came to take away the sins of the world. So you've got this guy living up. I thought, how in the world can you live in the same house with Jesus and not get saved? Here's how that can happen. The same way that I can go through life and be convicted by the Spirit of God and without doubt know that Jesus is real and know that Jesus is exactly who he said he was, the Spirit confirming those truths to me, I might as well have been living in the house with Jesus when the Spirit shows up and starts convicting. Because that conviction, my friends, is just as real as the moment when James was born into the family and Jesus was there. We blame those kind of people. That guy's an idiot to not choose to believe in Jesus. He had to see the miracles. He had to see the hand of God on him. He had to see how God was developing him and preparing him for the ministry that lie ahead. They had to see and sense something different about him. But listen, I've lived my life. I did get saved at 7 years old. I was under that conviction. Thank God as I was playing one day that the Spirit came to me and convicted me, let me know that I was lost and I really need to be saved. Thankfully, I surrendered to that leadership and I gave in and I gave my heart and my life to Jesus. So you know what's been happening to me since I was 7 years old? I'm going to tell you what has happened to me. I've been living in the house with Jesus since I was 7 years old. I have no stones to throw at James because I'm also living in a house with Jesus who is my older brother. We're children of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. So that means he is our older brother. He is the firstborn of all of us. I'm living with him because he is inside of me. The Spirit thrives within me. So if I want to look to him and say, how in the world could James go through life and not obey God and not listen to God and not surrender, knowing, looking at him face to face, I might as well be looking at him today because he lives inside of me. I know all too well what God wants me to do. I know all too well the leadership of the Spirit in my life, but I continue to disobey him. Since I've been 7 years old, I have disobeyed God plenty in my life. I can't throw a stone at James because I got a lot to throw at myself. How in the world can I, knowing that God lives within me, disobey God? How can I choose to do the things that I do, knowing that I'm breaking the heart of God, that I'm disappointing him, that I'm not pleasing unto him? We look back at those miracles, parting the Red Sea, one of my all-time favorites. I want God to reenact it when I get to heaven. Boom, it parted. Those people walked across on dry land. The army destroyed after that. And as they got to the other side, what they do? They sang a song of salvation. Woo! Praise God! I mean, they were fired up. It wasn't just a few minutes later, they're whining and complaining because they don't have clean water to drink. We don't have nothing to eat, or I've run out of my crackers, or whatever it is they're whining about. Had they forgotten what God just did for them? Oh my goodness, I want to get so mad at that bunch of people that crossed the Red Sea. I want to think that if I had crossed the Red Sea and come over on the other side, surely I would be somebody that would be celebrating God, and I surely wouldn't disobey him like that bunch did. I'm worse than them. I didn't have to see the Red Sea part, but if I believe in God, I believe it as if I was there watching it with my own natural eyes that it actually happened. How can I disobey God? How can I choose my way instead of God's way? How can I be so selfish? I understand James now. I understand the mindset that he had. I understand how selfish we can be and how prideful we can be. I understand the problems that we have. And we're going to talk about some things in the coming weeks. One being immaturity. A big one being immaturity. We're going to spend a lot of time on spiritual immaturity. You know something? What I've come to find out, not everybody that grows old grows up. I think that we've got to get in a place to where we're not looking at each other, we're not looking out into space, but we're looking to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. I know that we can be like James. We can start trying to compare ourselves with others. We can look into the things we're doing and look at ourselves and say, well, you know something? Looking at everybody else, I'm not doing so bad. Am I completely surrendered to God? No, but I know a whole bunch of people that are way worse shape than I am. Yeah, we start comparing ourselves to others, we're surely going to be in a fix and we're surely going to be in a mess. We got to start looking to Jesus and understand that if we are true believers in Jesus Christ, there will be fruit of that presence of the Spirit of God in our life. You can't have an apple tree and tell it, do not produce apples. It's going to naturally produce apples unless it's diseased. Unless something's trying to kill it, something's trying to attack it, something's trying to destroy it. You know, we're those trees that are planted. We're those that have been set aside. We've been looking on Wednesday nights in Ephesians about being called, about being chosen, predestination, selection, all those kind of things. We have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and set apart for a great work that God wants to do in and through our lives. He wants to see us fulfill the book of James. But we've got to be in the right attitude before we can fulfill those things. We've got to stop being the old James. Being mad at our brother because he always does everything right. And we've got to be the one that's on our knees repenting and surrendering ourselves to God and pleading for God's forgiveness. God, forgive me and cleanse me and use me. Give me the courage, God, to go and do whatever it is, wherever it is, whenever it is that you want me to do, God. Help me to not be the old James, but God, help me to be that new creature, that new creation that you've breathed new life into. Help me, God, to be that man. Are you that person today? Have you been delivered and set free from the bondage of sin? Do you know that you know that you know without doubt that Jesus Christ is your Savior? Listen, before we can ever get into a book like James and start reading the pages and turning those pages and dissect and absorb that, before we can ever get there, we must come to the cross and understand, are we really true believers in Jesus Christ? We're going to find out James is not talking to babies. He's not talking to those on the bottle. He's talking to those that need to be mature. Some on the bottle need to be on meat. That's something else we'll talk about. But today, in this introduction, I want us to address this question as we stand this morning and get ready for invitation song. Do you know without doubt that you are saved? I want you to search your soul today. I want you to go down in the depths of who you are. I'm not trying to cause doubt or confusion. I just want you to reassure, are you a child of the King? Are you a child of God? Have you been purchased and redeemed by that precious blood of Jesus Christ?
We would like to thank you for joining us. If you would like more information about our church, please visit rcbc.us, and God bless you.